I guess you've heard that the House of Representatives, I guess, overruled the president's veto on the so-called Civil Rights Restoration Act, which is a nice way of saying the government run our lives and businesses, and we're getting in trouble in this country. And I want us to do a little study here tonight, mention a couple of things to you, and show you a couple of things here that some of you know, but it might be good for us to go over again. Now, let me get me on this one, boys. My daughter, Terry, was asking me what I said up in around Chicago, why that they would be put in jail having Bible studies. And they have been and are being. And she said, well, why, if you got together and had a party, what would happen? I said, nothing. And she said, why they put you in jail for having Bible studies? And I said, well, they won't. You just went over to somebody's house and had a Bible study. We met every Tuesday night or every Monday night for religious purposes. That's considered a church. And there's zoning ordinances now that have been passed to zone out churches out of certain areas, and you cannot have people over to study the Bible at your house on a weekly basis. It is against the law. Now you say, well, let's protect this, and let's protect that, and let's protect... Yeah, I know that. I understand that. But it's also, slowly but surely, eating away at our religious freedom. And we're getting in trouble. We are getting in big trouble in this country. And I know that you want to know where to stand, and I want to know where to stand. I want to know where to make my stand and how to stand for God. I don't want to be a compromiser. I don't want to go looking for trouble. I want to stand. I want to stand where God wants me to stand, but not be overreactionary and go crazy every time somebody just rubbed me the wrong way personally. And so tonight, I thought I'd just take a few minutes and talk to you and give you something here on some signs. If somebody would get these lights, Brother Jack, and Rob, if you will, lower those over there. These here, brother. He's getting them. There you go. Leave them enough to where that y'all can see. Okay, turn to Luke chapter 21. That's good right there. Thank you. And I want to show you a verse of scripture here tonight. Let me see how clear we are. Not too clear. And in Luke chapter 21, look at verse number 25. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. You ever thought much about that verse? Bible said there'll be signs. Signs of what? Well, the end of the world, as they call it, the coming of the Lord, the battle of Armageddon, second advent, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them. Our heart failing. Why? For fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great glory. Now the Bible said before the Lord comes back, that's the advent. That's not the rapture. That's the second advent at the end of the tribulation, that there'll be signs in the sun. Now, if you've read the book of Revelation, you know what that sign in the sun is. What does the Bible say the sun's going to do? It'll be darkened. There'll be signs in the moon. What does the Bible say is going to happen to the moon? It's going to turn to blood. It said there'll be signs in the stars. What's going to happen to the stars? They fall from heaven. In other words, have you ever seen a falling star, what we call a falling star? All right. You just happened to go out one night, just shoo, there it went. During the end of the tribulation, the sun's going to get dark in the midday, the moon's going to turn red as blood, or it says became as blood, and or became blood, and it said the stars will start falling. And all it's just like a drama. It's just like in a dramatic, long, you know, in 6,000 years of human history, and as that thing begins to wind down with bombs, you know, and Russia moving in, and the kings of the east, and the river Euphrates drying up, and China purging on Jerusalem, and man, that thing's going to get dramatic there at the end, and these people are going to have sores all over them, and boils, and it'll just be the most horrible time the world has ever seen or ever will see. Right before the Lord comes back, these signs are going to happen in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And it's going to be a scary time. Now, we're moving toward that time right now. We're not in the tribulation by no means. We're living before the days of the rapture. And I just wanted to take the sun here just a minute. I could talk to you a little bit about the sun, the moon, and the stars, but you know that you've heard me preach before that in the Bible, the sun, the S-U-N sun, is a type of the S-O-N, the Son of God. The moon in the Bible is a type of the church. Now, when God made the sun, God made the sun rule over the day. When God made the moon, He made the moon and the stars to rule over the night. The stars in the Bible are types of soul winners. They will shine as the stars forever that turn many to righteousness. If you want to shine like a star in glory, the old folks used to sing, "Will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown?" Get out here and turn somebody to Jesus Christ. Listen. The world's going out from under us, folks. The greatest thing we can possibly do is turn somebody else to Jesus. Let the Lord use you, turn somebody else to Jesus, and man, you've got it made in glory. All right? Let's talk about the sun here a minute. Let's turn to some scriptures here. Malachi chapter 4, the first one, you can be turning to that. And look at verse number 2. Now, we're talking about the sun, the S-U-N, which is a picture of the S-O-N. Malachi chapter 4, and look at verse number 2. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to a verse of Scripture in Psalm 19. And Psalm 19, look at verse 4 to 6. All right, you ready? Malachi chapter 4, the Bible says that is everybody got it there? Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Stand up and read it real loud there, Brother Ken, where everybody can hear you. Real loud. All right. Could you understand that lanky Yankee language? I started to say lanky language. Can you understand that? The Son of Righteousness. Now, does your Bible say S-O-N or S-U-N there? All right, and who's that talking about? Talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. You know good and well He ain't talking about the sun that shines out there in the sky, but it's spelled S-U-N. Now, that's telling you something. When God does that, He's telling you something. He said, "You see that sun up yonder in the sky? That's a picture of My Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." You can do a great study on the Son of God by studying the sun, S-U-N, in the sky. Let's turn to Psalm 19, Psalm 19, and look here at verse number something or another there. Psalm 19, verse 4. And in Psalm 19, 4, He said, "Their line is gone out through all the earth," talking about the heavens, "and their words to the end of the world. In them," the heavens, "hath He set a tabernacle for the sun." Which sun are we talking about here? The S-U-N, right? The one that shines. The one that'll burn you. the one that'll scorch you. All right? Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. There's a picture of the Lord coming back, Jesus Christ, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Amen? There's a picture of the Lord Jesus coming back in glory, and he's pictured by the sun. That's you in. Now, did you know the sun can be helpful or it can be harmful? Same way with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to preach a message on it one of these days. I got a thought, wrote down at home. If the Lord ever gives me some more thoughts on it, it says, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. And the sun is no different, but it'll melt some people and harden other people. And Jesus Christ does the same thing. He just melts some people and hardens other people. Some people just harden their heart against the Lord, and some people just melt to the Lord. Now, I hope you're one of them that'll melt to the Lord. Don't harden your heart to God. Melt when He shines the Son of God down on you. Let me point out some things to you about the sun, the S-U-N. There's enough heat in a pinhead diameter of the sun to kill a man a million miles away. Hear me? There's enough heat in the size of a pinhead of the sun to kill a man a million miles away. You say, oh, you really believe that? I don't know if I believe that or not. That's what I say. What they're saying is there's a lot of heat in the sun. We're 93 million miles from that thing. And you go out there on a hot day and it'll scorch you. I mean, it'll burn your skin and your skin will die and it'll peel off. And that 93 million miles away, there's some heat, there's some energy in that thing. When the Lord comes back, He's going to be just like it. John chapter 1 says that the Son of God lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Ain't that what the sun, S-U-N, does? He lights every man that comes into the world. The sun, the S-U-N, has, look at here now, three kinds of rays. You're always hearing these suntan people talk about copper tone and beach buff and Panama Jack and how he's going to protect you from this part of the sun's rays and this part of the rays. Well, the truth is the sun has three different kinds of rays. Now, let me list these for you right quick and see if you can see something. The first ones are actinic rays. Now, actinic rays are sun's rays that the sun has, and you can't see them and you can't feel them. Now, there's a second type of rays that the sun has. If you want to write these down and study it and compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be a blessing to you. There's a second kind of rays, and that is light rays. Now, what about light rays? You can see them, but you can't feel them. What's the third kind of rays the sun has? Anybody know? Heat. Heat rays. I'm sure there's a more scientific name for them, but we'll call them heat rays. Now, heat rays, you can't see them, but you can what? You can feel them. We're already starting to feel them. It got up there today, boy. I was out there at the camp, and I don't know if the wind or the sun got me, but I've been burning right there all evening. And did you know those are heat rays? Those are the three kinds of rays the sun has. The first one, what did I do right off the? Okay, the first one are actinic rays. You can't see them. and you can't feel them. The second one is light rays. You can see them, but you can't feel them. The third one are heat rays. You can't see them, but you can feel them. Now, you know what that is, don't you? Those are three expressions of the S-U-N. The S-O-N is exactly the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is represented in three ways, three persons. What is it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it. Number one, actinic rays. You can't see them, you can't feel them. That's God the Father. Did you know God the Father is a spirit? He's in heaven. You can't see Him. You can't feel Him. Second, light rays. Who's the light of the world? Lord Jesus Christ. We can see Him. The Bible said we've seen Him with our eyes. We've handled Him with our hands. They saw Him, but you can't feel Him. Right? The third one is heat rays, representing the Holy Ghost. That's what'll warm you up. And the Holy Ghost, you can't see Him, but you can feel Him. And so, you see, God's got that thing down so that every time scientists discover something about the sun or the moon, it makes us want to shout because it just confirms what God done said in the Bible. Now, they don't know that. Scientists don't know that unless they're a Bible believer, which most of them are not, because they're intimidated by their education into ditching the Bible. I was talking to a fella in Hickory. I have worked on a car, and I was talking to him, and I said, I picked up a Bible, and I said, is this your Bible? And he said, yeah, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. It was a New World Translation. I said, you must be a Jehovah's Witness. And he said, yeah, how'd you know? I said, I've seen your Bible there. And he began to talk to me a little bit, you know, and everything. We began to talk about education and atheists and stuff, and he began to talk about people that believed in evolution and the Bible. And I said, there ain't no such a thing. You can't believe evolution and the Bible. One of them's wrong. Now, what a lot of these guys are doing, they're saying that God created the world, but He done it by evolution, you see. Now, that way you're splitting, you're straddling the fence, and you kind of stake over here as not to offend the church and not to offend the world. But, brother, you can't make that stand. One of them is wrong. You say, well, how do you know that ain't the way God created it? Because that ain't what He said. Jesus Christ said in Mark that from the beginning, God made them male and female, right? Not started them off as an amoeba and let them evolve into a tadpole and let them evolve into a frog and let them evolve. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus said from the beginning He made them male and female, and their names was Adam and Eve. They is full grown men and women just like me and you are, and no monkeys ever was in the picture. Now, I know a lot of people that make monkeys out of theirselves. But I don't know many people, monkeys, that make men out of themselves. And don't blame it on them poor things. I like that little poem. I wish I could remember it. It said, they say this and they say that, and man said that and recussed. They've descended from something, but not from us. Them monkeys was two monks sat in a coconut tree discussing things they're said to be. One to the other said something or another, and it went on like that, and they... Anyway, they were saying, don't blame it on us, you know. I ain't never seen a monkey drunk and beat his wife and abandon his kids and starve them to death and take a bunch of monkeys over and leave them on another little monkey for her to raise their little monkeys for them and all that stuff. Monkeys ain't that sorry. And so they said, don't blame the way we are on them. But all you see is that the sun here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me show you something else about the sun. Where's the sun rise? Where is my yellow marker? I got a yellow one in these somewhere. A little green in this sun. Ooh, he's coming up now. Sunrise. Now, you know what else they're saying nowadays? You know what they've said for years? Well, the sun don't rise. the sun stands still and the earth spins and goes around it, and it just looks like it's rising. But did you know the scientists, or a lot of them, are changing their mind now, and they're believing now that the sun really does move? It's like this. We're spinning. We're going around and around and around and around. It ain't no wonder it's so hard to keep your brains these days. We're flying right now. We're doing hundreds and hundreds of miles an hour. We're hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where we were when I started teaching a few minutes ago. We're going like this. And we're also going down the sun. Here we go. Here's the sun. Now they're saying that the whole thing's moving. Like this. And here we go. Who knows where? Out in outer space somewhere. But it looks like that the sun is coming up. Now, where's the sun rise? East. Where's the Lord Jesus coming back from at the advent? Not the rapture, the advent. The rapture, he's coming from straight north. Zoop, down to the clouds, get us out through the black hole. That thing like a vacuum cleaner up through there, brother. It's just like a black hole in outer space they can't figure out. And that's the hole that the Lord's cutting the ice, because he's a fisherman. And he let down the bait down here, and we got on the hook, and he's going to zip us, reel us in. Then, at the advent, he's coming down to earth and come through the eastern gate. And that's why Jesus said, as the lightning shines out of the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's referring to the second advent. Now, where's the sun come up at? East. It rises in the east, sets in the west. When that sun dies on the evening, it turns red. That's a picture of the crucifixion. The blood coming down. He died. He went down under the earth. But the next morning, pop, up it comes again. And boy, he comes back. That's a picture of the second coming. It's a picture of the resurrection. That sun is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All righty? Let me mention this. When he comes back, his vesture will be dipped in blood. Picture that red sun in the morning. Now, all day long, to get back to what I was saying about what I was talking to Carrie about this evening, all day long, it goes like this, folks. Here's the world. But it's a long way away from there. And here's the United States. Florida, Texas, South America. Over here, some other part of the world. Whatever's over there. I never did pay attention in geography. Now, that world's spinning this way. The sun's rising that way. What does that represent? Spinning the opposite from the sun. You listening? What is the sun a picture of? Jesus Christ. The world goes opposite from the sun. If you're walking with this world, you're going against Jesus Christ. You turn around and start walking with Jesus Christ, you're going against the world. That's why the world thinks you're cuckoo in here tonight. That's why they'll drive up and down the road and cuss us, and they don't understand us. We're walking the other direction. It's like, how many ever walked a barrel when you was growing up? You know, get old trash barrel out in the yard. Boy, we used to do that and have a big time. We'd get them out in the yard, and you stand there, and then you start moving your feet a little at a time, and you're really like you're walking, but, you move your feet this way and the barrel takes you that way. You're walking opposite direction than what you're going. Now, let's say the world's spinning this way right now. And that way's the sun. The sun's coming up this way. Well, it'd really be that way. That'd be east. And the world's spinning this way. Me and you, if we're walking in the direction of the sun, we're going to be against this world. That's why that you stick out like a sore thumb where you work. All the rest of them's cussing and talking about the parties they had over the weekend and how all the women and all the men they had and how drunk they got and how many times they puked and how many times they rolled over in it and and how they had to go to the car wash and wash their daddy's car, and all, and then how many drugs they took and how many dances they went to. And then here's you. What'd you do yesterday? I went to church. All right, you know what? The world's going this way. You're going that way. You know why? You're going in the direction Jesus is going. The Lord Jesus Christ and this world are just like that. They crucified him when he was here. If you want to know what the world thinks of Jesus Christ, brother, they nailed him to the cross. And don't ever think twice. If he's here now, they'd do the very same thing. The world still hates Jesus Christ. All right? Are you going with Christ? Then you're going against the world. Are you going with the world? You're going against Jesus Christ. There's no neutral ground. You say, I ain't going either way, preacher. I'm just standing still. You're going with the world. You stand still on this world, it'll take you with it. You've got to put forth an effort and fight and go against the world. Now, I could have a whole sermon on that tonight. The world's attitudes, the world's actions, the world's philosophy, the world. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this world's, it'll suck you down the river with it if you ain't continually trying to follow the Lord. And most Christians nowadays have just gave up and said, well, I'll just float downstream of the world. I'll go to church pretty regular and try to do the best I can. But boy, I tell you, it's a blessing when you get going the other direction. All right? Now, let me show you something here. And I'm going to close here in a minute. We're not going to take much time. I know we're going to try to get to the funeral home. I don't even know if I got a place I can do this. Let's say right there. The Lord began to create. There's one day. There's 2 days. There's 3 days. There's 4 days. There's 5 days. There's 6 days. There's 7 days. Right? There's the creation. On the first day, in the beginning, God said this and that and the other, and let this happen. Let this happen. Let this happen. Let that happen. On the fourth day, He made the sun. All right? On the sixth day, what did He make? The last day of creation, man. Now, the Bible says, turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3 just a second. 2 Peter chapter 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Was He tired? He wasn't tired. God can't get tired. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why did the Lord do that? Why did God put it in the Bible that He worked 6 days and rested a seventh? You say, well, He was trying to institute the Sabbath. No, He done that way before there was any mention of a Sabbath. The Sabbath is that. God had a reason for working those 6 days and resting those seven. You got something you want to ask, brother? Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm getting ready to say. Look at right here. Now, all this is a big, long study. We could take weeks on this. But look here, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 8. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I was looking over. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So He's showing you something here. Sometimes God does something by days, and those days represent 1,000 years each. Sometimes He'll do something by 1,000 years, and those 1,000 years represent days. Now, you watch it now. The first day He created, that's 1,000 years. or 4,000 B.C. The second one was 2,000 years or 3,000 B.C. Right? The third day was the third 1,000 years or 2,000 B.C. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. The next day, he created the sun. 4,000. 5,000. 6,000. You know, if each one of those days represent 1,000 years, you've got, starting off right here, you've got 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. He created the sun. You've got 5 days, 6 days. You've got 2 years from here to here, and then rest. How long does this rest last? 1,000 years. Now look at this. God created the heavens and the earth. He let it go 1,000, 2,000, the flood, the time of Abraham, right here. He let it go 2,000, 3,000, and here comes Jesus and died on the cross. Now, isn't that something? He goes 1, 2, 3, 4, he created the sun. 1, 2, 3, 4,000 years, here come the other sun. The Lord Jesus Christ, and died. Now, it's been 2,000 years almost since he was here. You see? We're right here in 1988. And if our calendar's right, there's only 12 years till the end of this 6,000 years. And our calendar more than likely ain't nowhere near what a Jewish calendar is supposed to be. It could be off one way or the other. Now, if the Lord continues to do like he's always done, there's going to be something real big happen right during this time right here, any time between now and the next few years. Now, I believe that will be the coming of the Lord. I'm not prophesying. I don't know when the Lord's coming. No, nobody does. But it sure does look like we're running out of time. Now, when this time comes, we go up in the rapture. Then they have the tribulation down here, come back down, and what do we have in the Bible? 1,000 years of rest. The millennium. Pictured by the seven. To the sixth, right now, waiting. And that's why they're passing laws against putting up building churches and cities. That's why AIDS is threatening to destroy the countries. That's why homosexuals have come out of the closet right here. Not here, not here. There's always been homosexuals, but they've never been out of the closet, into the open, except approved, and even against the law discriminate until just right now. All this, and the Lord said when he was back here, you'll see the days of Lot, you'll see the days of Noah, you'll see the days of this, and he's talking about this time right here that me and you's living in, signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Which means this, folks, if you're getting discouraged and about ready to quit, hang in there. It ain't gonna be long now. You can feel something big is about to happen. It may be 10 years. 10 years sure won't be long. I mean, if you knew for a fact it's happening in 10 years, you'd shout, wouldn't you? And we don't. It may be 1 year, it may be 5 months, it may be tomorrow. But you can tell the pressure is on too much. The pressure's on too much. If you're ever going to do anything for God, do it now. Because the Lord's coming real soon. All right, we'll take just a second here and have a question. Does anybody have a question or a comment?